Before the time of the Buddha, awesome voice, any person could get enlightened, and he wouldn't need to be certified by another person. After the time of the Buddha, awesome voice, someone who felt he was enlightened had to be certified by a patriarch or an enlightened, good and wise advisor for it to really count. For example, the Sharangama Sutra lists the stories of 25 sages who described their perfect enlightenments and who requested Shakyamuni Buddha to certify their attainments. I'll now tell the story of such a certification. During the Tang Dynasty in China, there was a great master called Yang Jia, Eternal Excellence, who was born in Yangjia County of Zhejiang Province. Since he stayed in Yangjia all his life, people gave him the name Great Master Yang Jia. After he left the home life, he studied the teachings of the Tiantai School and cultivated meditative contemplation. One day, while reading the Vimalakirti Nirdesha Sutra, he suddenly got enlightened. Soon after, he met a disciple of the sixth patriarch named Chan Master Xuan Zi, Mystic Law, and told him his story. Master Xuan Zi suggested that he go to Cao Creek to study under the sixth patriarch and to request certification of his enlightenment. Otherwise, to claim that one has become enlightened by oneself without the benefit of a teacher would make one a follower of the externalist who believed in spontaneity. When he arrived at Nanhua Monastery in Cao Creek, the sixth patriarch was meditating. Master Yang Jia, in full pride, strode over to the front of the patriarch's meditation seat. Without even making a half bow or full bow, he simply grasped his tin staff, walked three times around the patriarch's seat, and then stood and rapped his staff on the ground. The sixth patriarch said, "Shramanas, monks, ought to possess the 3,000 modes of awesome deportment and the 80,000 subtle mannerisms. Only when one's behavior is impeccable does one merit the name Shramana." Shramana means diligently putting to rest. A Shramana diligently cultivates precepts, concentration, and wisdom, and puts to rest greed, hatred, and stupidity. Where do you, O virtuous one, come from, and why are you so arrogant? Master Yang Jia answered, "Birth and death is the only important thing, and impermanence comes with haste." The sixth patriarch said, "Then why don't you embody birthlessness? Why don't you understand no haste?" Master Yang Jia answered, "The embodiment originally was not subject to birth. When you understand, there is no further haste." The sixth patriarch said, "You have really grasped the idea of birthlessness." Master Yang Jia said, "Do you mean to say that birthlessness is an idea?" The sixth patriarch said, "If it isn't an idea, then how can you distinguish it?" Master Yang Jia said, "Making distinctions is not an idea either." "You are so right, you are so right," said the patriarch, and thereupon certified him and made him his Dharma heir. After Great Master Yang Jia was certified by the sixth patriarch, he planned to return immediately to Kai Yuan, primary source, temple in Yangjia. The sixth patriarch asked him to stay for one night, but the next morning he went right back to Yangjia. Since he had enlightened to the truth of the Buddha Dharma in just a single evening, people of that time nicknamed him the monk who became enlightened overnight. Afterwards, he energetically propagated the sudden teaching of the Chan school and is most noted for his Song of Enlightenment, which explains the state of sudden enlightenment. The song is a masterpiece that will long endure and has become required reading for Buddhists. Judging from the outside, we seem to be working hard at our cultivation here in the Chan Hall, but in reality, we are indulging in idle thinking and are not working hard at all. We may be thinking, this is the age of science, and there ought to be a scientific way to get enlightened. And so we ponder back and forth in a very unscientific way, like fools prattling about dreams. People who claim enlightenment have to stand up to the test, otherwise they are simply telling a great lie and will fall into the relentless hell. This retribution awaits any individual who claims for himself that he is enlightened and has realized the fruition of sagehood. I hope that all of you will take careful note of this point and make no mistake. You may not carelessly tell lies, or else you will undergo that kind of retribution. We wake up very early and don't rest until very late. Why do we cultivate so rigorously? It is because one extra minute of meditation gives us an extra minute for the opportunity to get enlightened. Even though we're gathered together in the meditation hall to concentrate on the question, who is mindful of the Buddha, we can't say that no one is concentrating on his task. Those who really want to get enlightened and obtain benefit are certainly in the minority. Most people are not serious or enthusiastic about meditation. They merely go through the motions and waste time. If you spend your retreat like this, you won't get enlightened even to the ends of the future. My hope is for many people to get enlightened in this country so they can help Buddhism in the future. We must not talk during the Chan retreat, nor should we indulge in idle thoughts. Apply effort with sincerity. Only then can you obtain a response and reveal your wisdom. Once you have wisdom, you won't be upside down. Only if you aren't upside down can you teach living beings. If you yourself haven't yet figured out the true principle, how can you teach others? That would simply be a case of the blind leading the blind, which is very dangerous. Chan meditators are like farmers who sow in the spring, laboriously weed, water, hoe, and fertilize in the summer, and harvest in the autumn, so that they can be full and warm in the winter. A farmer's year-long expectation is to be amply fed and warmly clothed. Investigating Chan is the same. We must carefully guard our thoughts and watch over ourselves at all times. As we walk and sit in the Chan Hall, we should know whether or not we are applying effort. In general, whether walking, standing, sitting, or reclining, we should cultivate diligently. We can use whatever method we feel is right for us. There is no restriction. For example, if we feel that we won't obtain any response from investigating the meditation topic, we can recite the Buddha's name or cultivate the method of stopping and contemplating. Only if we can obtain a response will we succeed. No matter what method we use, we must concentrate and get rid of all idle thoughts. When we concentrate to the ultimate point, there will be good news. If we have a profusion of idle thoughts, then no matter what method we use, we won't obtain a response. People who truly apply themselves don't ever know when they are walking or sitting. How much the less would they engage in idle thoughts? All they know is the question, who is mindful of the Buddha? They keep investigating it in their minds without ever forgetting it. They're unaware of thirst, hunger, or feeling hot or cold. Why don't they know these things? It's because they are concentrating single-mindedly. They aren't aware of stiffness in their backs or pain in their legs. They have no thought at all except for, who is mindful of the Buddha? They are constantly raising the question and letting it go, dropping it, only to pick it up again. They use this skill ceaselessly in thought after thought at all times. When their effort reaches an extreme, They may bump into something and suddenly get enlightened. Why haven't you become suddenly enlightened? It's because you aren't concentrated and you don't know how to understand your mind and see your nature. You don't know the state of returning to the origin. You don't know where your hometown is. You prefer instead to be the poor son who wanders adrift in foreign lands. In the end, I say the same thing. Investigate who is mindful of the Buddha until you reach a state where the mountains end, the waters dry up, and you feel there is nowhere left to go. Then, beyond the dark willows and the bright flowers, you'll find another village.